What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. While the Royals drop game one of their four-game series against the Mariners out west, that puts them 5.5 out of the final wild card spot. And at this point in time, what, 7.5? Games below, or set 7.5. 7 games below 500.
Yep.
They will be at it again tonight. 8:40 first pitch. Vern's on deck show at 7:30 right here on 96.5. The Fan. Earlier today, we had JJ Piccolo on the show. If you missed our conversation with him, you'll hear that again at 1:30. We asked him if they recalculated where they're at in terms of how they're going to proceed the next couple weeks. Of course, talking about the trade market and things like that. And he was pretty adamant that they're still moving ahead as a team competing for a playoff spot.
Next up on What's Trending, SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, has agreed on a four-year, $285 million Supermax contract with the Oklahoma City Thunder, obviously the NBA champions from this previous year. That was second only in the biggest news of the day to the fact that the Bucks have cut Dame Lillard and instead brought in Miles Turner on a four-year, over $100 million deal. They'll spread out Dame Lillard's deal of $113 million of $22 million each over the next
four
years.
There's a report out that the Heat are interested in Dame as well.
He's likely to miss a huge chunk of the regular season as a result of his injury in the playoffs last year. But still, he'll be able to sign for almost nothing and just collect the $22
mil. Yeah, to what you were saying, Drew, I mean, if whether it's the Heat or anybody, he can kind of ring chase if he wants. Yeah. He can sign a vet man and go to a team right away. Now, he's not available until, I don't know, what, I think February? March at the earliest,
kind of thing. He got hurt in the playoffs.
Yeah, he got hurt in early June, right?
April. Or like mid April.
That's right. The playoffs last 3 months. My bad.
So 8 to 10 months. He might be available.
The playoffs ended in June.
He might be available January.
Okay. For an Achilles, I don't even know what
like
the timeline is.
February or March.
I don't even know what the timeline is. Is that timeline? Because that time, I think.
Could be the whole year. We don't know.
The Achilles, it all depends on your rehab, I guess. But isn't the Achilles like what the ACL used to be, where it takes a full 12 months normally?
In a weird way, the Achilles is almost worse than an ACL at this point.
10 to 12 months.
Okay, so he could be back anytime, probably from February after the All-Star break, I guess, is the earliest.
Elsewhere on What's Trending, the Pac-12 has added another member. Remember, this is a new look, reshaped Pac-12. The latest. We're going to talk more about this after What's Trending, but Texas State. Yeah, just if
is that
I would have told
from
you
a necessary roughness.
Not quite. 10 years ago.
I'm not kidding.
If I would have said 10 years ago, yeah, Texas State's in the Pac-12, you would have thought I was an absolutely insane person. So here are the current members of the new look Pac-12, which doesn't start till 2026, by the way, not this year. It'll have Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, Gonzaga, that's not for football though, Oregon State, San Diego State, Texas State, Utah State, Washington State. That begins. Texas Board of Regents voted to authorize a $5 million buyout to get out of the Sun Belt Conference.
For what it's worth, I looked it up. The name of the school, necessary roughness, okay, is Texas State.
Just a generic.
It is hypothetically in this one a fictional learning institution whose football team nickname is the Fighting Armadillos. Ooh. But to be clear, necessary roughness's football team is Texas State.
It's just nuts.
Kathy Ireland kicking for them in the Pac-12, or what's up?
In 1996, the Pac-12 was, I guess, the Pac-10 at the time, right? But Arizona, yes. Arizona State, Cal, Oregon State, Southern Cal, Stanford, UCLA, Washington, and now it is the teams I mentioned. The Gonzagas, the Boise States, the Colorado States.
I saw something. The state of Texas spans in from the Pacific Coast to the Atlantic Coast. Now there's teams in both coasts of the country.
They
from
ran
Texas.
Out of teams. I mean, like the Pac-12 kind of had to add Texas State, so we'll discuss it more in a bit.
Next up on Watch Training, Caitlin Clark had a new shoe drop today from Nike. It sold out inside of 10 minutes. $190 a pair, already selling for two times as much, it appears, on eBay, or three times as much depending on the secondary retail sites. Very popular shoe. This kind of goes back to what we were talking about at the WNBA yesterday, and a team selling for $250 million for an expansion franchise when just a couple of years ago it was $50. Their growth right now is related to Caitlin Clark, and we can see that based on that alone.
Yeah, of course. By the way, the shoe looks pretty sick, too. But not surprised it sold out quickly. I mean, she right now in sports in the United States is a top three marketable athlete.
Yeah.
And it's not close. It doesn't mean that...
Did you try to get a pair?
No, I
got the car. Try to spend some of that money.
Did not.
That goes up for auction this month. You could have pre-spent some of that money on a pair of Caitlin Clark shoes.
We are
man.
In the month of July. I believe it should be an auction the next like 7 to 10 days.
Ooh.
And then it runs for like 20 something days. And it's going to be nerve wracking because I was watching a Caitlin Clark card. And by no means is my card going for this much. This was like a much better card. But for context, with 2 days to go in the auction, it was like at 8,000. With 2 hours to go, it was at 12. Do you know what it finished at? Not my card. This is a different card.
50,000.
With the buyer's premium at 80,000.
Oh!
So what I'm saying is, like, it's going to be nerve-wracking. Mine might be sitting around like 2 or 3, and all of a sudden it could jump up, you know, in the final.
And you'll just never really know what it's going to do.
So
last
it's going to be a long couple weeks. I guess I've waited since April 26th at this point. So what's another 3 weeks? That, by the way, is what's trending, unless you want to talk about Bobby Bonilla, who once again, it's his day. He gets a nice little wire
Bobby
transfer, nice little ACH transfer to the bank account.
For the 1.2 mil?
Yeah, just under 1.2 mil. He gets it for another 10 years. Deferred money from that Mets contract. It's just unbelievable. It's been always a fun story
it
every year.
It is a fun thing. Bobby Bonilla Day is a fun thing to
deferred
celebrate.
Money, you know, and now we see that happen all the time. Obviously, Otani's the most notable athlete that has deferred money. You were looking up something from SpotTrack today.
The most egregious one was Chris Davis.
You were looking up SpotTrack, yeah, and they had a list, and guys like Chris Davis and Matt Holliday, not the kid, Matt Holliday, the vet.
Matt Holliday will make twice as much money this year than his son, Jackson Holliday, an active Major League Baseball player.
And his other son might be the number one overall pick in the draft.
Jackson Holliday is making $750,000 this year, and Matt Holliday is making like 1.5. Chris Davis, who I remember was like, oh, yeah, power hitter, hit like 50 homers.
Had a nice year or so, yeah.
He had a nice year. He got a huge payday. He got like a $160 million deal. They had to cut him a couple years after because he was so bad they couldn't do it. He got paid $9.5 million this year. He is still owed another almost $40 million through 2036. They're just going to have to be paying him forever.
Jeez. I mean, this is
forever.
Every team has bad MLB contract. Every team has had one. I mean, this is not a unique. The deferred contract is notable, but I guess just a reminder that like
anyone teams, giving it back like Gil Mesh or what's it?
No, no. And I still don't know why he did that. I mean, again, great person to do that. But I'm shocked. That he actually did that at the time. But no, I just reminded that like, every team has terrible deals. Some are worse than others that they have signed. You misevaluate talent. Some organizations are able to do that and still be all right. Some, it sets you back for a very long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Orioles.
And then Bobby Bonilla one, like, yes, it's more overtime, but in general.
Mostly
what's
just
his name?
Funny that it's like
what's his
years.
Name is not sweating the $1.1 million
Steve
every
Cohen?
Year. Yeah, I think.
He's been live tweeting as the Mets are in the middle of, like, they've lost 15 to 20 or something. He is going through it online. He's like a regular fan. Isn't like the fan you think of in the Royals game. Like, I can't, you know, like that's the Mets owner right now.
Well, he's put a ridiculous amount of money in that team.
Yeah, yes.
They went out and got Juan Soto and it hasn't, you know, lived up to what they thought it would be to this point in time. All right. We'll talk some baseball. Don't worry here coming up in a little bit, but Trey Smith, this month is the deadline to get a long-term deal done, and we're going to talk about that. But don't forget, if you're looking for something to get to lunch today for dinner, our friends over at Third Street Social is part of the Summit Hospitality Group. They're the official taco partner here on Cody and Gold. They got 3 great locations, South Plaza, if you're out in Lee Summit, up in the Northland as well. Third Street Social, the proud Taco Tuesday partner here on Cody and Gold. Head on over to any of those 3 locations for $2.50 tacos starting at 3 o'clock. You missed out, man, a couple weeks ago.
I was out of town, I heard.
They brought in some tacos. Oh, boy. Bink was late coming back from break. He was pigging out and scarfing down the shrimp tacos.
Wow, he came back.
They also brought in some desserts. Oh, man.
Oh, what desserts?
Third Street Social, yeah.
What kind of desserts?
Drew had a couple of, he just walked out. Of course, I was going to talk about it. Like they had a couple different varieties of desserts.
Where did he go?
I don't know where Drew went. I looked over. I was going to talk to him about the desserts because he was here and he walked away.
He went to Third Street.
Maybe. But that's what it was like with Bink. He just wasn't back from break and he was eating the tacos. Anyway, so shout out to our friends over at Third Street Social. Trey Smith, deadline is later this month to get a long-term deal done with the team.
This is always the time to pay attention.
He's signed. But yeah, the calendar turns to July. Now it's go time. We're getting close to deadlines. Now it becomes a little more real. I still think it's like post 4th of July holiday. Maybe we start to see and hear some things kind of leak out. Are they close? Are they, are they still debating about the 5th year or the 4th year? The dollar amount, it's kind of settled. I mean, his tag is 24 point, whatever the, what, 5-6 or something. Yeah. I don't know what it is. Million is what he knows he's getting, making him the highest paid guard in football for 1 year. But he wants that across 4 or 5 years. And that's where we're at here. You cannot not get it done if you're the Chiefs. You trade away Joe Tooney. To me, you've backed yourself in the corner. Like, you're getting this deal done.
I'm still optimistic the deal gets done. I won't start worrying. So, like I told you and we had said before, we both agreed, the July 1st is when you and I bring it up back on the show again. Like, haven't heard anything about that. Same as I feel, like, just to be clear, 1 month from today, August 1st, is when I bring up the Rashee Rice suspension again. Or, hell, the first day of training camp, probably. Yeah. Where you're like,
is it going to happen?
And is something going to happen here? I do not. My only fear as it relates to getting his deal done is, I thought for sure when they franchise tagged Chris Jones a couple of years ago that that deal would be done by the deadline. I never had any fear about it. I wasn't worried about it. We probably did something very similar in this show and it hit July 1st. We're like, it'll be fine. They're going to pay Chris Jones. And I know Chris Jones is here in the long term now, so good. But there was fear about him leaving and a real chance for him leaving because he got to explore the free agency market, or at least he didn't quite get all the way there because they had that like little brief exclusive period of time that they eventually got the deal done. But they did not hit the first deadline. So there is part of me that fears, for Trey Smith's sake, that he already is happy with whatever. This is the advantage I think Trey Smith has. I think he'd be fine to play under the franchise tag. I think sometimes players don't like it. He has been a league minimum player making sixth round money. He came in with major health concerns coming into league because of the heart stuff. That has not been a concern or problem at all.
Yeah.
But $23.4 million already makes him the highest paid guard in the NFL. I think if he had to play it out because he didn't get the years or the total dollar amount or the guarantees that he was looking for, he could. I'm not worried about that now because that he's not going to sign yet.
And
10 days I might be.
He's obviously, he signed the franchise tag. So in terms of playing this year, that's not even a question.
No, like, not that. That is
locked in. It's just whether or not.
I'm saying I think he's fine to play.
It's just whether or not we're sitting here in the offseason. I have no reason to believe as of right this second on July 1st that they're not getting a long-term deal done. But it becomes realer and you get a little more nervous as it gets closer. But also, you know, typically these things are in like the Chiefs, you know, if they're going to get it done, it's probably like inside of 4 or 5 days of the deadline. It's July, you know, July 10th, July 12th, you know, leading up to the final days if they're going to get this thing done.
There were only two tagged players this year, right? And one already has a contract. Wasn't it just T. Higgins and Trey Smith?
Oh, T.
Higgins. He was tagged, but he eventually already signed his long-term contract. I think it was just those
two. But
T.
Higgins never signed the tag, correct? Like they placed the tag, he never signed it. Trey Smith signed the bad boy quick. He said, I'm locking in the 23 point whatever.
So that's what's funny. It's like, do you take that as a good thing? As in like, I'm going to be here, it's cool. Or is I don't need the leverage in the, I may not show up to camp and sign it. I'm happy to make $23.4 million for just this year and wait a year if I have to.
Yeah, I think he's
depends on how you read it.
Yeah, I think he's definitely like wants to lock in the money. I also think some of it is an indication like, no, he wants to play here in 2025. Yeah. There's no like, hey, if you don't get it done, I want to be traded. That's never been the MO or anything like that from anybody involved. And I still think when we're up there in St. Joe for training camp, I think our first show is July 21st. When we're up there for that one, I think we'll be seeing Trey Smith in a uniform practicing like everybody else. And we'll say, oh, wow, just a few weeks ago or a week ago, he signed that 4 or 5 year deal for X amount of money, $25 million a year, $24 million a year.
I hope you're right. The over on Twitch, Cash Gaming was like, we're not going to see him like between 2-8. We're not going to see him between the Goodfellas again, right? Week one, up in the suite, wondering whether or not.
That was that Lions game where they didn't have Chris Jones. They didn't have Travis Kelce.
And here they eventually went on and won the Super
Bowl. That's
what's
funny about that week one feeling.
Well, it's like you want quiet off seasons, but like the Chiefs are the kind of team who can take a slightly noisy off season and it not matter, right? They've had off seasons where they've had trouble and they still went on to win Super Bowls or accomplish all their goals. And we pointed out a million times, you could think it's the worst year in Chiefs franchise history. Under Patrick Mahomes, that is overtime in the AFC title game, so it didn't go all that bad. A lot of teams who'd kill for that opportunity, they lose in the actual Super Bowl. But in that year now, in retrospect with the Chris Jones thing, they won the Super Bowl. He had come back after the franchise. It's like, I'm staying here forever. Remember all the... And we weren't even sure if that was going to be at the time. I do think... There almost seems no question. Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey are like honest to God best friends. They're like actual friends. I think if I were a guard and if they were going to pay me top guard money, I don't know why I wouldn't want to do it with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid in a system that I already trust for a team that took an opportunity with me. Like, I don't see any reason why. And they've clearly shown we chose you over the maybe Hall of Fame. It's hard to get in guarded Hall of Fame, but probably Hall of Fame All-Pro guard who does everything. Hell, he played left for us, and we chose you. So when we offer the long-term deal of 4 or 5 years or whatever it is, please sign it.
There's way too many reasons why they get this deal done. That's what it is. There's just way too many reasons out there why both sides should want to get this thing done. So we're in the month, though, where the deadline exists. So that's why it's something we'll check in every couple days or so if there's some updates. I really think after the holiday, maybe there's something.
Monday, we probably talk again because then we're what, a week, 8 days out? That sound right to you? Because it's 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Yes, and we're like 20 days away from going to St. Joe. It's going to sneak up on us very quickly.
Like, I'm sure a lot of you are looking forward to going to St. Joe.
I'm thrilled to go up there.
You're not? I've been to St. Joe a lot. A lot.
Thrilled.
I one time, and this was a huge mistake by me, I one time tried to add up in my head the number of days in which I have personally spent in St. Joseph, Missouri. And guys, it's not kidding. It's probably like 80 days. I'm pretty much a part-time resident of St. Joe at this point in my lifetime. I've lived, and that does not include the summer I lived in St. Joe between kindergarten and first grade. That didn't last very long. My parents were trying to save their marriage.
They kicked you out of St. Joe.
Well, we went up there for a summer in an attempt. To my understanding, my parents were trying to save their marriage at the time.
Okay.
And they thought, let's get away from the city. Let's get away from
hold
it
on,
all.
Hold on. So with all due respect, they thought to save their marriage, they were going up there was going to do that?
I want you to think about that sentence out loud. How serious of a cover? Like, in retrospect, you must go back and laugh at that. You'd be like,
yeah,
guys, it's time to save our marriage. And you know what's going to do that? A move to St. Joe. That's going to solve it. Mired in kitten death and just fight. Like, dude, it's terrible. Awful summer.
Yeah.
And then we came back home and we lived in Kansas City the rest of the time. So I spent a lot of time in St. Joe. I am looking forward to like some of the storylines and
getting
close. And that means we're closer to the NFL season.
We are.
Just a long drive.
Means we're closer
I-29,
to
you know?
Potential guillotine league. We got to work on, you know, we got some other stuff that's fun that we're doing differently and maybe at training camp. We'll be up there. We'll see you.
Is it going to be hot this year?
Cody, it's going to be cool.
What's the extended forecast looking like?
No, you know what? It's going to be 70. It's going to be like San Diego. 72, no humidity.
I'll say some years we get a more milder St. Joe.
Other years,
it feels like the surface of the sun. It's quite
based
hot.
Based off so far, I'm guessing it's going to be an average temperature of 93 degrees. For 11 shows and humidity and heat index makes it feel like 99 or
80%.
People talk. So I haven't been to St. Joe. I've driven past it on the way to Madison, Wisconsin when I took that trip. But based on what you guys have said about it and other people, it doesn't sound like
a
fun city, which is terrible.
It's a small town. There are restaurants and there are
it's
some
not,
places in
St. Joe
that I do.
It's not the city. It's the drive back and forth. It's not the city.
It's the commitment of going up 3 or 4 times a week for a month. That's what it is, Drew. Let's talk about some college football. Necessary Roughness is Texas State is getting ready to join the Pac-12. And I got to be, this is the biggest death nail for a conference I've ever heard. If you are down so bad that you are bringing in Texas State, I don't even think we need to mention the Pac-12 as it relates to college football anymore. They are no longer a factor or matter in any way, and we don't need to discuss them as a conference.
I don't know about that. But
no more
okay.
than we would discuss Conference USA's football prowess in the upcoming season. They are irrelevant.
Yeah, so look, they're not in the Power 5 convo. That still is now, it's still the Power 4. Like, I understand the Pac-12 went away, and they're bringing it back in 2026. But there's no way that conference makeup is a Power 5. There's no way. Now, the decision for some schools like Boise State and others to leave the Mountain West, the TV deals that they're going to get, it looks like it financially it is going to be a smart decision for them to leave the Mountain West. But once again, because some of the rivalries did go with them. Some of the schools are staying in the Mountain West that weren't able to get that opportunity. And if you're another Mountain West school, you're like, why is Texas State getting in? Well, it's because it's Texas. You get Texas. That's the reason, recruiting avenues, all of it, that you get by having a team from that state. But yeah, there's no way the Pac-12 is ever going to be what the Pac-12 was again. But Texas State, I mean, good for them individually. Hey, props to you guys. You get out of the Sun Belt. You get to be in a conference that does have some name recognition for the time being. But that's all built on past history. Everybody knows that the 2026 Pac-12 is 5% 1% of what it was in its heyday.
I'm still 20 years ago. I'm blown away. I would have definitely thought a different conference would have died before the Pac-12.
Everybody thought it was the Big 12.
There are just conferences I thought were going to die.
Everybody is seeing Clemson talking the way they were 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Then maybe, yeah.
Yeah, everybody in 2016, let's call it, people probably thought the Big 12 was a year or two away from folding. Mm-hmm. And to their credit, they have stabilized. Now, it doesn't mean they all have issues, but they have stabilized enough. They are relevant.
Yep.
And that's even now after losing Texas at Oklahoma. Is it uphill challenge? Absolutely. Every single year it is. Fortunately, some of the schools have done a nice job maintaining the competitiveness there. I think, of course, adding Colorado back in doesn't hurt and BYU doesn't hurt. But yes, the Big 12, everybody thought 10 years ago would have been toast by now.
So this is the Pac-12 in 2026. This is the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, Gonzaga,
a lot of state schools.
Oregon State, San Diego State.
A lot of states.
Texas State.
A lot of states. Boise's not a state.
Hang on.
That was a sign that everybody would
hold
up.
San Diego State, Texas State, Utah State, Washington State. The only school that
couldn't
not
get a single just Washington or Texas.
The only state that is not in there is OGs. Gonzaga. And that's because Washington State is already taken.
And Gonzaga is a basketball school. They're not even having football.
Correct. Which is why they had to add Texas State to the equation
even
because they needed enough football participating members.
It's no different than Conference USA. That's just what they are now. Like they have to accept their fact.
I think it's better than the Conference
USA is the worst conference in college football. In football,
it's better than Conference USA. It's better than the Sun Belt. It's not better than the American. If you want to say that, I would agree.
The American has the debate. Sun Belt is. Like is top of the tier below them.
I mean, I'm guessing based on all the schools you just named, their biggest football prowess is definitely Boise State.
I think they're more of a basketball.
Sure.
You can make
for basketball. It's not a bad little conference.
It's more of a basketball conference than a football conference. 100% to good programs like Gonzaga, Boise State's good. Colorado State was in the tournament. San Diego State made it to a national title game. I mean. Utah State's been in the tournament regularly. I mean, it's a pretty salty basketball.
I gotta say, like, that's not the worst rebrand way to go about it. But as it relates to the upcoming college,
they should rebrand that way.
Yeah, I mean, but the problem is you're still going to be the, you know, because
please tell me they've
SEC's dropped, very good at basketball. Big 12's been a basketball conference.
I know they kept the Pac-12 logo and everything.
Conference of Champions.
Please tell me they have ditched the slogan of Conference of Champions.
Where's Bill Walton?
Tell me they have ditched that. That you can't roll with that heading into 2026 for the new look Pac-12. That just can't happen.
Yeah, I would think that they. Now, in fairness, like, because it's funny to joke about now. I'll never forget the Big 12 going with one true champion.
Yes, yeah.
And then in year
one,
not being able to name a champion.
What a mess.
They went one true champion and in year one couldn't name a champion.
It just backfired so badly on them. So badly.
That's just bad timing. Yeah,
it's some bad luck. It's some really bad luck. Whatever marketing agency helped them come up with that. This is,
disaster. Cool. One true champion. It's like Highlander stuff. It sounds sweet. And then when the first year you're like, co-champions, you're like, but that's not one true. That's no good.
That did happen. That definitely happened. All right. Up next here on Cody and Gold, we'll get back into the Royals. And if they were to trade away some position players, who would you be on board with? And what do you actually get back in return? Plus the random question of the day right here on 96.5 of The Fan. We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 8 minutes or so. Just a funny quote I saw come across the timeline. So we talked yesterday how the WNBA is expanding, right? They're over the next couple of years, they're adding Philly, Detroit, Cleveland.
A couple of cities that lost WNBA teams.
And Sophie Cunningham, who's on the Indiana Fever, who plays in Indianapolis, Indiana, was asked about the expansion. And she was quoted as saying, quote, "I don't know how excited people are going to be going to Detroit or Cleveland." Now, no disrespect to Indianapolis, but like, You play in Indy. You can't be saying, "Wow, people aren't going to be excited to go to Detroit or Cleveland." You think they're excited to go to Indianapolis? Like
way just, more than Cleveland.
But you can't say that. Those are all too similar.
No.
You can't say that if you're playing in San Diego. They don't have a team.
Ahmad
out there.
Rob
but if you're
trying to do this, and he plays in Detroit.
Yes,
about Kansas City.
There is
I'm just
more
saying.
To do,
Sophie
I
Cunningham.
You.
Now she was propping up Kansas City a little bit because she went to Mizzou. Not from Kansas City, but she went to Mizzou. But it's just funny. I just thought it was a funny quote because like. you know, you can't say, I'm sure people aren't going to be excited to go to Detroit or Cleveland. When you think they're excited to go to Indianapolis? It's not a shot at Indy, but like, you can't say that if
yes,
you're...
Yes, it is.
No!
Would you
play
say
in
that,
some other metro.
On. Would you say cannot, that Detroit and Cleveland are in the same light as Kansas City?
Not far off. Not far off.
I think
from
Indy,
people nationally, okay, yeah, take your bias again out of it. Not far off. If you asked, if you surveyed people in New York City, they would think Kansas City
I think
and Indianapolis
growth
and
going
Cleveland
on in Kansas City right now. Yeah. I think the separation's going to grow, but I don't think the separation is like
night take
day
our bias out of it. Like we all, both of us grew up here in Kansas City. I obviously think Kansas City is better than Indianapolis and Detroit and Cleveland. But if you surveyed a random person with no ties and you lumped Cleveland, Detroit, Indianapolis, and Kansas City together, they would all say, "Yeah, they're all very
Indy
similar."
Is way
this
better.
But this is the bias. This is what I'm saying.
I don't
take
even
the bias.
Know if it
this
is the bias. Bias. There's more to do in Indianapolis than there is in Cleveland and Detroit.
Yeah,
they're all similar in population size as part of it. Like Kansas City's 2.2 million people. Cleveland's 2.2
million
people. My
only point is her saying, I don't think people want to go to the expansion cities in Cleveland and Detroit is rich coming from someone who plays for a team in Indiana. That's all I'm saying. It's not the end of the world, but that's all I'm saying.
They're very similar size cities, I'll say.
I don't think it's not a size.
She doesn't
thing
play for the team in the Bay Area saying, she, you know, I don't know if people want to go to Cleveland, you know, like,
yeah, but she isn't, I don't think she means it from a city population perspective.
I'd say that they publicity wise, they got a worse rep than Indy, than Kansas City. Like if you asked standard people, you got to choose one city to live in. I do think Cleveland and Detroit would finish third and fourth.
Yeah, I would pick
100%. Versus Kansas City. Like, out of everybody in the United States.
Yes.
I do think Cleveland and Detroit would finish third and fourth. And would you want to live there? Right.
I would rather live and visit Indianapolis than Cleveland. Don't
Indianapolis
disagree.
Indianapolis has a suburb that's technically the number one place to live in the world.
And Johnson County is consistently at number like five top suburb in the United States too. Like, my point is they're very similar. But the Cleveland would be lower on the list. But in combining the way she said the quote, I think it's funny because they're not all that different in terms of overall how people view the somewhat Midwestern cities. Detroit's not, but you get my point. Like they're kind of viewed as the same type of city. We're not talking about LA versus, you know, Atlanta versus Cleveland. And then it's like, well, those are not comparable cities at all.
It would have seemed less weird if they they played for Miami. You'd be like,
that's the only point is you play in Indianapolis. What are you talking trash about other cities for? You play in a mid-sized market as well.
I still think that is absolute shade. It's the same shade.
Well, she's throwing shade at the other cities.
Sure. It's the same shade that we thought that you guys thought Amon-Ra was throwing at Kansas City for the exact same reasons. It's the same thing.
I didn't I have to hate Amon-Ra St. Brown. And up to this point, I've really liked him.
Drew, that's my point. My point is it is the same shade.
Yeah, he's not arguing.
That's my point is that she plays for Indianapolis and she's saying, who would be excited to go play in Detroit or Cleveland? That's my point. It's the same thing as taking a shot at Kansas City when Amon-Ra did it. You're saying that it's not because you love Indianapolis. That's fine. But like, it is the exact same thing.
I think it is different though in the fact that Amon-Ra St. Brown was talking about Kansas City in general. Not, he wasn't saying Detroit's better than Kansas City. He hates Detroit. It sounds like.
It did seem like he was saying Detroit's better than Kansas City.
He hates Detroit.
I read that quote.
It sounds, based on what he said, he likes the team he plays on, but hates everything else about the city of Detroit and would much rather live somewhere. If he could take the Lions and move them anywhere else in the world, he would have done so by now.
Well, yes.
And Kansas City wouldn't have been one of the places, is what it sounded like.
Yes. If I could have a beach outside my front door in 70-degree weather, but have the same setup, I would love that setup too. I mean, yes. I would.
He also is he's from California.
Right.
So I don't think I think him slighting Kansas City doesn't mean that he also supports the city of Detroit in the slightest.
It's again, I think, we can move on. We're going in circles now. I was just like,
I was going to say, there is a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway. All right. Let's talk a little bit about
the Royals.
The Royals.
This is a real pick me up from this conversation.
Yeah.
Did the Royals win last night? They did not. Which unfortunately, and we had JJ Piccolo on, you'd mentioned coming up at 1:30, you'll hear that conversation again. And this is important because we asked him about the trade deadline stuff. And 2 weeks ago, you guys had JJ on while I was in Texas and said, yes. Hey, you know, have the thoughts started changing about being sellers instead of buyers, essentially. And he had said no at that time, which made sense. Now, 2 weeks later, things have gotten worse.
Yeah, they're 5.5 out of the playoffs.
Have things have changed? And the answer to this point, still no. And so like, I know every Royals fan would be interested in the Lugo, Lorenzen. I know some who'd be interested in Bubic or Cruz or Estevez, any of the guys who you would think in the pitching department would be on the block. The question I had asked you guys before the show is how far down the rabbit hole you're willing to go? Because the question really for me is, are you actually willing to trade a position player? Because that's from a position of weakness in the hopes that you can swap something for better or something for 2026 to get better, as in like you trade for somebody's top prospect in AAA and you try to do it. So would you trade? Would you be interested in trading Mikel, Massey, Fermin, Salvi, Vinny? Like, and I understand that there's a gap between the lower end part of that in the like Massey, and people are always interested in utility players or whatever, and that level, and the level up where we're talking about Mikel and Vinny, who I think would be the highest tier player that you could trade. Because I'll just be right now, if you're the person who texts in again and be like, why is Bobby not an available option? I will not be entertaining that during this portion of the conversation.
He's the only player,
I'm talking about position players who are not
though.
Bobby Wood Jr.
He's the only player you don't listen.
I wouldn't trade Vinny at all.
He's the only player you don't listen, though.
Sure.
Like, literally, I hang up the phone. If you call him, hey, what about Bob? You slam the phone down.
And I don't pick it up for another year.
No.
You're not allowed to propose a trade to me if that name's even
any
brought up.
Any other player, you have to stay on the phone and you listen. Doesn't mean you trade them for anything. It's got to be a hell of a deal for some of these players. But absolutely, Mikel Garcia is having a great year. They love him in the organization. He's only 25 years old. He's very valuable to you. It also means he's very valuable to other teams. If you got what you consider a home run type of offer that brings back multiple pieces that can help you within the next year or two and have years of control, then yeah, I would be willing to trade even Mikel Garcia. Freddie Fermin, yeah, you can trade him. What are you getting really back? I think he's almost more valuable to you. And I know the system has...
Sometimes you make those little moves in an addition to make your system a little stronger.
Sure, and look, I mean, they have catching prospects, but Salvador Perez has a club option next year, so he's got like a year left maybe in the organization.
Looking
probably
harder to exercise that club option based on the current performance.
Maybe you don't exercise and you still bring him back, but it's a little bit different type of setup. I don't know how that's going to play out in the offseason, but
I still don't think Salvador Perez is going to finish his career at Royal.
It doesn't feel that way. It doesn't feel that way because he's going to want to keep playing. But anyway, I think everybody I would entertain except for Bobby Wood Jr. What are you getting back? I mean, Freddie Fermin, like, are you getting an A-ball prospect? You know, that's 19 years old. Am I getting a guy that's been in the minors his entire career? You know, it's easy to say sell, 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 but really Seth Lugo, Chris Bubich, and Mikel Garcia to me are the three guys that could get you the most.
Yes, I agree. I think Mikel would be really interesting. He's not a Zobrist level player, but he's played center field,
someone
left field.
Someone says, why would they trade?
Third base and second base in his major league career. Someone could treat him like a Zobrist type. I told you the reason I wouldn't trade Vinny is because he's the most professional hitter on the team. And I'm not interested in completely devaluing the offense. Go ahead. What did the text line say?
Yeah, someone was just saying, why would we trade Garcia? He's our best hitter. Because internally, you have to say, hey, is this real? Is this a sustainable thing for him? This is a career year. When he regresses off of the career year, because he's not going to have, he's probably not hitting 300 guys the rest of his career every year. So what's that look? Is he all of a sudden a 240 hitter? Is he a 260? Is he a 270? 280? Like, what do they think he's going to be? And based off that is your confidence level in trading. Do you think this is who he's going to be now for a majority of his career?
I got to say that part of my thought process on this is directly related to if I could have the answer to, is this team actually willing to spin their way out of their problems? Because I don't think you can spin your way out of replacing Vinny Pasquantino, right? Like, I don't think you can. I've already told you, he leads the team in home runs and RBIs. He is their most professional hitter. Bobby Wood Jr. is their best hitter, in my opinion. Mikel Garcia this year has been their third best hitter, pretty inarguably, at least this year during those times. I don't think you can replace the RBI ability, even if it's a down year in that category, that's a variable stat, and what he brings to the table. And because I don't have any firm answers on Jack Caglione's ability to play that spot every day and produce offensively, I think I'll just go and wait.
I wouldn't trade him, but it's not an automatic no, though, because also internally, how confident they are that he's going to be healthy throughout his career?
It's like a 95% no for me. Maybe automatic is crazy, but the deal would have to be right in order for that to make it happen. I think I can buy a player of the caliber of Mikel Garcia on the free agency market. Not easily, and I'm not saying it's like easy spend money, but I might be able to buy that problem away. And so if the team's willing to pony some money up, I'd probably be more willing if I were an organization. Truth is, I don't know. And listening to JJ earlier, it doesn't sound like they're real ready to entertain any of those possibilities until we get a couple weeks down the line. And they want the team to have a chance to play their way into it or out of it completely before they tell them they're selling or buying or anything else in between. Prove to us that it's worthy of this. And I was kind of hoping they would just be in an automatic buy situation this year that the team had already put them in. But because they're in this losing streak during this time, it just doesn't feel like it's going to go that way.
913-586-7965, Jay Southland, Sosa's text line. Just talking about some players, if and when this team decides to ultimately sell off some pieces. And by Friday, they could be 9.5 games out of a playoff spot. And I think it would be very clear at that point that you have to proceed. And anybody that does have a expiring contract, to me, you would need to move. So Michael Lorenzen would be included in this. Someone said, hey, you could get a nice prospect back. What did the Royals give up for? I mean, be realistic, though. I mean, the Royals acquired Lorenzen for who? What did the Royals give up in that trade? I'm trying to go back and look at the transaction log for him. I mean, it wasn't much. I mean, was that that wasn't the Walter Pennington, was it? Am I off on that? Was that Walter Pennington? I have to go back and look.
They required? Here,
it was. They traded Walter Pennington. Okay.
Who at the time was a top 15 prospect, yeah, but not a guy who was highly thought of.
What are you getting back for Michael Lorenzen? Yeah, you're getting some team's middle, you know, top
20th best prospect.
Yeah, right. So I'm not saying it's bad for, I would do that trade, by the way, but the point, if you think they're getting like some guy that's helping them for sure, no, not so fast.
Yeah, those trades are going to come with the, you know, like
Lugo. If the Cubs are truly interested in Seth Lugo, there's some rumblings out there. The Cubs, the Mets, all these top teams that are leading their division, or at least one of them, the Cubs leading their division, are interested. Yeah, the Cubs have their number one prospect is an outfielder who is from Canada. He's in AAA. I think he was a high school pick at one point in time. So he's like 22 now. Lugo for their top prospect that happens to be an outfielder? Yeah, that's the type of trade I'd be interested in. That guy automatically, with years of control, potentially is your starting left fielder for the next couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, those are the type of trades. I asked the position players because I feel like the only ones we've been tossing around are the pitchers, which, yeah, I think a lot of people are like, sure, that makes sense because we think Lugo's going to opt out. And as we pointed out, that actually technically means you could trade Lugo. He could opt out and you could just bring Lugo back. If you wanted to, you'd have to pay market price like you did the last time. Remember, they overpaid Lugo in both average annual per year and in total number of years. And so all of those things are options.
Random question
today brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, we see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. For you, Gold, for you, Drew, over on the text line, 913-586-7965. YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. We live stream the show over there as well. Interact in the comment section if you're interested in joining the live stream. See Gold in his Bethpage black one. I'm in not a royal shirt. I almost wore the Vibes Are Great shirt today.
You can't wear that.
In an effort to like make the vibes great.
You can't wear that.
I can't wear the boys are playing some ball.
No, nope,
because they're decidedly not playing some ball right now.
You cannot wear that shirt. No,
man, that's tough.
I got a
royal shirt.
Got to tone it down a little bit on the slogan shirts.
Is just a blue shirt.
Yeah, it's just a blue Kansas City Heart shirt. You're good there. You can't wear a shirt that says the boys are playing some ball when they're not
playing good ball.
When they're 7.5 under fire, seven games under 500, or whatever, and 5.5 out of a playoff spot.
Fair enough. Anyway. Well, question I have for you today is related to the upcoming holiday, of course, on Friday. It'll be July 4th. I'm assuming part of our regular activities as a group are getting somewhere near a body of water, if possible. Maybe you're at the apartment pool, Gold, who knows? The question I have for you is, because we were talking about this, because there'll be a big crowd of a pool I'm going to on Friday.
A big crowd.
Well, there'll be like a lot of people. What do you guys think is the question I have for you today is, what do you think is the best pool game? So like, when I sit in, I don't want to just sit in the pool. I like an activity.
I like volleyball,
basketball. You want nothing? I want to hang out.
I want to talk to people. Have a cooler at the edge of the pool. I'm standing in the pool. I can dip myself down if I need to get the shoulders a little wet if they get a little warm. And then I'll just talk to people.
So your favorite pool activity is stand and talk?
Chilling around and talking. Absolutely.
Dang, that's your top.
I like to just talk to people.
I think pool volleyball is king.
Yeah.
Amongst all other
pool activities.
I will play
it, but it's not my preference.
Pool volleyball, I think, reigns supreme. So you'll play it, but
I would prefer, if you told me like, hey, let's go to the pool, I would say, all right, let's get a cooler and let's just chill in the pool and talk to people. That's what I would do. That's what I enjoy doing. Yeah.
Interesting. That's the number one choice for you.
Yes.
Yep. More than anything else.
No, yeah.
I think that's like lake, obviously, because we're not.
Cody wants me to say, like, yeah, we play Marco Polo. I mean, what are we like?
Not Marco Polo. There's lots of other pool games. We used to play 500 when we were kids.
For sure. Oh,
I'll take the best kids version, too. I'll take either adult or kids.
500 was great. If you're asking, like, when I was a kid, would I like playing 500's the answer.
Would you play 500 now? I mean, a pool full of people?
I would if we had space. The thing is, at an apartment pool, you're not playing that. There's too many people around.
Yeah, sure.
You can't take over the entire pool.
Pool basketball's tough because it takes out the entire dribbling part of it, and you never get enough space to actually get a shot off.
Yeah.
Right? And you're just kind of like bumping into each other. Yeah. It's more of a physical wrestling match than it is anything resembling basketball.
Yeah.
Drew, what's your answer?
I think volleyball is the answer, too. I enjoy pool basketball, but it can get annoying at times. I can see why it'd be frustrating. Where volleyball, everybody's got their own space, you know, you're not having to there's
no you're
physical,
kind of standing where you are.
You're doing your own thing. I like pool volleyball
people most. Mentioning 500 on the text line, obviously, which is not surprising. I think, like, I guess part of this is just if I'm at any social related activity, right, we're at a barbecue with this, I like a yard game, I like a pool game, I don't want to
cornhole. Yeah, cornhole. That's different. That's not pool. We're not in the pool anymore. Yeah, in the backyard, you have some cornhole. I'll play some cornhole. But like in the pool,
I want that in the pool, you know? As well. I want an activity for any of the outdoor stuff that I'm actively doing. Now, if it was a pool basketball, I think I'd be more interested in horse. I'll say.
Oh yeah, agreed.
Way more interested in horse than we're playing 2-on-2 and I'm trying to, like,
for sure.
Elbow. Sure. I'm trying to back you back down into the
for sure.
the fake lane for pool basketball. Yeah, it turns into horse immediately.
Someone says, are you boys still going to organize a lake party remote? That is in flux and may never happen. There's some,
for this year, it's not going to happen. For next year, maybe.
Yeah, there's...
I'll be at the lake for the exact day that we had originally planned for Cody and Gold Day at the lake, so let me know if you'll
there's
be
there's just a lot
there.
Of things that have to get buttoned up for that to ever happen. That's all. Some out of our control.
Somebody says the best pool game is obviously just catching the ball thrown your way in a group in the air. Still a fun game. Try to catch it behind your back. Try to do something fun. Windmill dunks into the basketball. Mm-hmm, also more fun than playing 2-on-2. I like an activity. What other yard games besides cornhole do you like? I have been this close at Costco to picking up this Tetris game they have for sale as a yard game that looks so fun. It's like a teetering Tetris thing. You have big pieces, and you're trying to not make a tip left or right and then dump all the pieces down. I've been very tempted by that. Miss me with Connect Four. Not interested in giant Connect Four. Barely interested in giant Jenga.
Giant Connect Four can be fun. That can be a fun yard game. I prefer cornhole would be the top game in the yard, though, for sure.
Cornhole's the top game for you in the yard game? Nobody else is mentioning any that we haven't played before. Somebody did ask, what is 500?
Oh, really?
Is that... Oh, I thought we all just
someone call it something different that we're missing. Like, is there
what
a
were your
name?
500 rules? Ours were very simple. We didn't do the like we call it the number. A catch is 100. If you get it on a single bounce, it's worth 50.
We shouted out a number.
Yeah, we didn't shout out a number.
We shouted out a number.
Each catch is 100. Off a single bounce is 50. Otherwise, it's zero.
Yeah,
that's
we would shout out a number. Right when you threw it, but you know, 500. You know, you would just
that's too
just,
much. That ends the game too quick.
Yeah, but like whatever. You know, like you would shout out a number.
You could play the game multiple times. It's not like
You did.
Yeah, yeah.
You did.
Like if you wanted everybody to go for the gusto, right when you threw it, you get all the 500.
Now people are mentioning all kinds of yard games. Bucketball, one I haven't really played much. Can Jam, I have that one's with a frisbee.
Oh,
we Can Jam is a that's fun. A tough game. Yeah, it's
yeah
a fun
I
game.
Think. And what's the other one where it's like you
beer pole?
Like,
no, which one?
No, you almost have like a mini, like trampoline's the wrong word, but like
spike ball.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, spike ball
on the beach, preferably.
We used to play beer pole, where you put the beer on top of like the PVC.
Yeah, I played that at a frat house before. That was back in. So something we played. That's something that you did in college.
I broke someone's finger throwing the frisbee too hard because I was really putting some juice behind it.
What? Apparently so.
Makes it harder to catch.
Well, yeah,
which is kind of the point. And I'm trying to aim for the pole, and I broke someone's finger.
Somebody said bocce ball.
I'm played it since.
You would break someone's finger playing some yard game way too seriously or something.
I think we know by now that I take those games too serious and that I'm in it to win it. Yeah.
Have you guys ever played bocce ball?
I have.
I don't think I've played bocce ball. I don't think I've played that.
Somebody says they call 500 jackpot.
Oh, I think that was a name that was used as well.
I've never heard anyone call it jackpot.
I think we did that too.
I think that was kind of just used interchangeably. That's true. I forgot about that.
Okay. I've never heard anyone call it jackpot. You know what? You learn some of your time. Scoob over on one last one for the water one. He suggests chicken fights. Where does that rank in the pool game?
What is that?
You put someone on your shoulder?
Oh, is that what you call it? Oh,
yeah, that's what we called it.
Okay.
What did you guys call it?
Maybe so. I I know what you're talking about. Did we call it chicken fights? I'd have to ask my buddies at the time if that was actually what we
put
called it.
Put someone on your shoulders and...
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're talking about. Did we call that chicken fights? I don't know. I'd have to...
I don't think... Somebody mentions also, along with the jackpot with 500, is mystery box. That was the fun one, too, is you'd throw up a mystery box, somebody would get it, and then you'd play in Butterfingers, so it's like, ah, crap. Like, I can't... There's no point in me trying to catch
the ball. Mystery box? I don't even know what that is.
Oh, with 500, yeah.
No, we didn't play that. That must have been a younger
kid's game. Or Sticky Fingers, where if you touch the ball first, if
you
touch
guys had
ball,
a lot of extra stuff. Ours
then
was just
you automatically got the points.
You had to make 5 catches to get 500. Bare bones, 500. we didn't have Sticky Fingers or whatever. Drew's got all kinds of
Butterfingers
and Sticky Hands, and they had all kinds of stuff going on. I don't know. Okay.
That's the random question of the day. Up next, we'll get back into the stadium front a little bit, what Mayor Q had to say to CDOT yesterday and what the governor on the Kansas side might prefer, plus the latest in the NBA, a couple more moves happening today that are kind of interesting for the future of the league. That's coming up here on Cody and Gold.